सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादा सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। First of all, I would like to take the blessings and permission of all the senior devotees who are present here. Before I try to speak on this wonderful subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, so we have been hearing the discussion of Narad Muni and King Prachinibari since last few days, and Narad Muni, being a preacher, is trying to preach to Prachinibari in analogy. Here Prabhupada is mentioning two, three different points. One, he speaks about how a saintly person who is a guru, a preacher, chastises someone, and this chastisement is very good for his spiritual health. He actually destroys his false ego. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that any activity that we do which is not leading to Krishna consciousness is simply a waste of time, is actually sinful activity. And the next point that Prabhupada makes is about educational system. What is real education? And that is Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada is speaking about the saintly person over here, Narada Muni, and Prabhupada himself, being a follower of Narada Muni, is coming in the same disciplic succession. So, we will try to analyze in this class and understand what exactly is the saintly person, what are his qualities, and even if he chastises or corrects someone, how it purifies a person internally, and how one can make spiritual progress only by taking shelter of a real saintly person. There are the prayers that we sing in the morning, Samsara Dava Nalalida Loka Tranaya Karunya Ghana Ghanatvam, that this whole material world is on blazing fire, and the guru, the preacher, is showering mercy to all the living entities so that they can get free from this material bondage. So let us see in the lives of Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada. And also, while we are going through their lives, we would also like to understand the different qualities of a saint from the mother nature. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a wonderful description given of mother nature, and from there the saintly qualities are also explained. The rainy season and the autumn season, they both are explained. So first, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 3rd canto, the qualities, six qualities of a saintly person are mentioned. First one is titikshava, that means tolerance. So Mother Earth, she is called as mother. There are mothers like one who gives birth to one's child, she is a mother. The cow is also our mother. The nurse who nurses the child is also the mother. And the guru's wife is also the mother. And the earth is also called as mother. So Mother Earth, before the heavy showers of the rain come, she undergoes the scorching heat of the sun. For almost more than 8 months, the sun very heavily scorches the earth and the land becomes parched and dry. But Mother Earth, she simply tolerates. That is not all that she tolerates. In today's time, you see that the Mother Earth is being abused in so many different ways. We have people who are cutting trees in acres and creating deserts. And why do they cut these trees? So that they can grow some grass as fodder for animals. And why are they giving this fodder to the animals? So that ultimately they can slaughter these animals and sell them. And the same blood of these animals is then soaked on the surface of this earth. Being a mother, she is going through so many tormentations of seeing her own children being killed and troubled. Then you have people drilling the earth. And then you have people who are trying to test atomic bombs on the earth. So many problems are happening on this planet earth. But the Mother Earth is simply tolerating. Similarly, a saintly person is one who tolerates. This is a very special quality. In today's world, tolerance is very less. If you are traveling in the train, you will see this immediately. Little push and people become so agitated that they are willing to use their fist on you. So tolerance is a very special quality which is there in a saintly person. So Narada Muni, he is a preacher and he started preaching to different people and he goes for the big deal. So he took the 10,000 sons of Prajapati Daksha. Daksha is a very rich man and he is a progenitor. So he has produced 10,000 sons. And after producing these 10,000 sons, he orders them that they should go and progenate. After doing austerities, they should enter the grahastha life. So they are doing these austerities. And all these 10,000 sons are intellects. They are very intellectual people. So Narad Muni comes over there, looks at them, and understanding that these are intellects, gives them a riddle. And he preaches them through a riddle. And as they solve this riddle, they understand that this material world is actually a very useless place. And we should all go back to Godhead, back to home. Why waste our time over here? So they just take up to Brahmachari ashram and go away. As soon as Prajapati Daksha comes to know about this, he starts lamenting. Just imagine, if one son joins the Brahmachari ashram, it is so painful for the parents. What to speak of 10,000 sons immediately becoming Brahmacharis. So Prajapati Daksha is lamenting and then he, after his lamentation, he says, okay. He produces another 1,000 sons called the Shavalashas. And these 1,000 sons, they also are ordered by Daksha to go and do austerities for purification so that they can enter the grahastha ashram. So that was the Vedic system. The ashram is very sacred. So there they start doing austerities. And somehow Narad Muni at the right place, at the right time, just comes over there and sees them And then he thinks that these young boys, why not deliver them? So he starts preaching to them. And by preaching to them, very simple way, he tells them that see, your brothers, they are so elevated and they have taken up to the brahmachari life because they want to perfect their life. So all you have to do is follow in their footsteps. If you do that, you will be elevated to the higher planets also where the Maruts live. And the Maruts actually, they are also followers of their elder brothers. So you also follow your elder brothers. And saying like this, he just goes away. And by listening to them, the sons of Daksha, they immediately take up to renounce order and they go away. But this time Daksha is very angry. Now, if we look back in history, Narad Muni is such a wonderful preacher and such a wonderful deliverer that he has actually delivered the whole family of Swayambhu Manu, starting from Priyavrat Maharaj, then to Uttanapad, and then to his son Dhruva Maharaj, and then you will see in the preceding chapters how he is delivering Prachini Bhari himself. So he thinks that let me go and deliver Prajapati Daksha also. So actually a preacher is very daring. At this time practically Daksha is boiling with anger, but Narad Muni takes the courage to go and preach to him when he has already delivered all his sons. So Narad Muni proceeds towards Daksha. But Daksha is in no mood to accept any preaching, and Daksha becomes very angry with Narad Muni and he starts blaspheming Narad Muni. He blasphemes him in a very bad way. He tells him that you are actually an impositor. You are wearing these saffron robes, but actually you are not a saintly person. He says that I am a real saintly person. Like how we see in the material world, people say that why are you worshipping God outside? Bhagwan to dil mein hai. No? God is in our heart. Why you want to worship outside? So like that, Daksha is telling Narad Muni that why you want to wear this dress and behave like a saintly person? Actually, you are not qualified to travel with the associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are a very fallen person and you are also not compassionate. He said that you are trying to show compassion to young boys, actually you are misguiding them. Like that, the preachers have many times blasphemed and told that you are misguiding the young youth. Before I joined the ashram, someone came to my father and they told him, where is your son going? He said, he is going to the ISKCON temple. He said, don't allow him to go over there because everyone is taking drugs over there. And there is one boy we saw, after he joined the ISKCON, he became mad, and right now in Bazaar Road he is going Hare Krishna like that. So he become crazy. So your son will also become crazy. Don't go over there. Now of course, they do not understand what is the ultimate goal of this human form of life, which is very rare. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschid yatati siddhaye. That after millions of births, we get this human form of life. And it should be used in the service of God. If you don't want to take birth as an animal, then you should make the perfect use by serving Lord Krishna. So like that, Narad Muni was blasphemed by Daksha. Now if someone is blasphemed so much, and Daksha went to the extent of calling Narad Muni as a rascal. Narad Muni is such an elevated person, he is such a big saint. But Daksha is calling him a rascal. And still Narad Muni is standing over there. So if a saintly person hears something like that, usually what one would do is just go away from there. But Narad Muni does not go away. He just stands over there and is listening. Why? Because he feels that let this poison come out. Let him shout at me. Let him blaspheme me. Let him speak all these bad words. And then he will be satisfied. Just like Lord Nityananda, when he was hit by Jagai, he was blasphemed by Jagai and Madhai. That time blood was flowing from his head, but he didn't go away. He just stood over there, just waiting for them to come out with all their anger. And then they realized that actually he is not an ordinary person, he is a saint, and what we are doing is wrong. So like that, Narad Muni was standing over there, and then as usual he was going on blaspheming. So similarly, Haridas Thakur was blasphemed and abused. Jesus Christ, we recently saw one movie, how he was abused so badly by being hit and ultimately crucified. So, such saintly persons, they are blasphemed all the time, and they are not only blasphemed, they have to face even physical torture. So like that, Narada Muni was hearing all these things, and ultimately what happened? In the last verse, Daksha cursed Narada Muni. He said that because you have spoiled my children, I curse you that you cannot stay in one place. So in this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Narada Muni very humbly, he said that I accept the curse. Narada Muni could have counter cursed also, that you are cursing me, that I will not stay in one place, I curse you, you cannot progenate, go on. But no, he is simply accepting the curse, and very humbly, it becomes a benediction for him. Because he is a preacher, now he doesn't have to stay in one place. He keeps on traveling to different places and keeps preaching. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, just like Narada Muni was cursed by the parents of this Daksha, the Daksha cursed Narada Muni for his children, similarly, the parents of my disciples, my young disciples, they have cursed me, and that's why I cannot stay in one place, and I am continuously traveling all over the world, round and round, and I am preaching Krishna consciousness. So like that, Narada Muni tolerated, and Narada Muni tolerated the two sons of Kubera, Nalakuer and Manigreev. What did he tolerate? They were like hippies. He tolerated their nakedness. Similarly, it is said that Prabhupada tolerated these naked hippies, and he helped them advance in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had to undergo a lot of austerities when the land of Juhu temple was being constructed. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was there, and this Mr. N was creating so much of problem. And one time everything was settled, everything was going to begin, the construction was going to begin. Prabhupada was sitting with all the devotees. He had undergone so many problems, he had faced so many court cases and everything. And he was just sitting so that they could start the whole auspicious ceremony. At that time, one devotee came and informed Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, the court has sent another letter that we cannot do construction, we cannot build anything. And then Prabhupada was so sad that one tear just dripped from his eye. He said that this is very difficult. This land is so difficult, this mission is so difficult, but he said, what to do? We have to do it for Krishna. So he was tolerating all these problems, he was tolerating for the sake of Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in a big sabha, and as he was speaking to the hippies and to different kinds of people over there, one girl suddenly got up and she started blasting Prabhupada. She was a young girl and she started blasting Prabhupada. She started saying, "Hey, why are you against illicit sex?" She started shouting like that. "Why are you against this? What's wrong in that?" And she started glorifying illicit sex. And Srila Prabhupada was just sitting and hearing. What can such an elevated Uttam Adhikari say to such people? I mean, this is the darkest of level. Prabhupada was, you cannot even preach to them, because they are promoting something which is not even heard of in high Vaishnava standards. So Srila Prabhupada just closed his eyes and he was listening as she went on. And then Prabhupada told her. Prabhupada could have counter-argued also, quoting scriptures and so many things. But understanding her level, he simply tolerated. And then he asked her, "Forget all that," he said. He said, "If I give you something in goodwill, will you accept it?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Just chant Hare Krishna." Understanding her level, Prabhupada told her like this. So like that, Prabhupada had to tolerate such nonsense. So this is one of the very prominent qualities of a Vaishnava, an Acharya, Titikshava. The next quality is Shruda Sarva Dehinam. He is the friend of all living entities. So we see in the rainy seasons, dark clouds gather, and when they become loaded with water, they pour showers of rain everywhere. Now, when the clouds shower, they do not discriminate where they are showering water. They shower water on the sea, they shower water on the rain, they shower water on the rich man's house, and they also shower water on the poor man's house. So like that, the rain is coming and it does not discriminate. Similarly, great souls do not discriminate when they are giving their mercy to everyone. They are friends with everyone. There is a saying in English, a friend indeed is a friend indeed. So Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Surdha Sarva Bhutanam, I am the friend of everyone. So the same quality is there in a devotee. He is the friend of all living entities. We see that when Dhruva Maharaj, a young 5-year-old child, was searching for the absolute truth, he was going towards the jungle to find where is the absolute truth. And Narad Muni, he came in contact with him. He was only a 5-year child, and Narad Muni guided him to the right place, how he can achieve Krishna. And then Narad Muni also gave shelter to a woman, Kayadu. She was the wife of Hiranyakashipu, understanding that in her womb is Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee. Narad Muni gave her shelter. Narad Muni could have discriminated that she is the child, she is the wife of Hiranyakashipu. Why should I give her shelter? But no. He gave shelter to the small child, he gave shelter to women. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he gave shelter to women in his ashram. This was so dynamic, no one has ever done this. And Srila Prabhupada gave them the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness and also accepted them as his disciples. So Prabhupada gave shelter to women, and the best way to become a friend to anybody is by giving them the holy name. Krishna is appearing in the holy name. Srila Prabhupada was so dynamic, he started the Rath Yatra, through which everyone could get the holy name, everyone could understand what is real bhakti. In the Padma Puran, Narad Muni prays to Bhakti Devi that I will spread all your glories in the form of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur that, Haridas, which is the way where all these living entities can be delivered? Human beings can chant Hare Krishna and they can be delivered. What about the trees and animals? What about them, the immovable objects? So Haridas Thakur said that by the Harinam Sankirtan, they can also be delivered. By Nama Sankirtan together, they will also be delivered. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this when he went to Jharikhanda forest. He went over there, he chanted Hare Krishna, and he made even the animals dance. The tigers were dancing, the elephants were dancing. And in the NOI, Srila Prabhupada writes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the animals dance. At least we can give the holy name and make human beings dance. That much, we cannot make animals dance, but at least we can make the human beings dance. So let them take the holy name and chant Hare Krishna. So like that, they are the friend of everyone. In the material world, we see that nothing is free. Everything has artha. Artha means value. But this Krishna conscious movement is so wonderful. It is an exchange offer. Give your anarthas and take artha. That is the holy name. Accept this Hare Krishna Mahamantra by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prays and sings তোমারে লইতে আমি হইনু অবতার, আমি বিনা বন্ধু আর কে আছে তোমার। হি সেজ দ্যাট দেয়ার ইজ হু এলস ইজ দ্য বন্ধু, আই এম ইয়োর ওনলি বন্ধু, আই এম ইয়োর ওনলি সুহৃদ। এনে চি ঔষধি মায়া নশিবার লাগি, হরিনাম মহামন্ত্র লেও তুমি মাগি, আই হ্যাভ ব্রট দিস মেডিসিন অফ দ্য হোলি নেম, প্লিজ অ্যাকসেপ্ট ইট। সো লাইক দ্যাট দিস ইজ আ ভেরি ওয়ান্ডারফুল কোয়ালিটি অফ বিইং দ্য ফ্রেন্ড অফ অল লিভিং এন্টিটিস। দ্য নেক্সট কোয়ালিটি ইজ অজাত শত্রুবহ, হি ইজ নট ইনমিকল টু এনিবডি। সো ইন দ্য রেনি সিজন উই অলসো সি দ্যাট লট অফ উইন্ড ব্লোজ, অ্যান্ড ওয়েন দিস উইন্ড ইজ ব্লোয়িং ইট ক্যারিজ ক্লাউডস অলং উইথ হিম। সো দ্য উইন্ড ট্রান্সপোর্টস দ্য ক্লাউডস টু ডিফারেন্ট প্লেসেস and bringing them over there, the cloud showers. Prabhupada writes in the purport that just like these clouds are transported and showered, similarly rich and wealthy men, when guided by spiritual leaders and gurus, they have collected so much of money and wealth, they shower their wealth in the right places, and everyone benefits by such procedure. So here we see that Prachini Bhari is the king and Narad Muni is like his guru right now. He is instructing him on so many values. But Narad Muni is not inimical. He is not thinking that now he will obey all my orders, so let me order him to give me his kingdom. He doesn't want to be the king. He just wants to guide Prachini Bhari in the right way. Let's stop these fruitive activities, take up to Krishna consciousness and perfect your life. Just like the wind, it only transports the clouds, but the wind never takes the responsibility of pouring water. Similarly, a spiritual guide only guides people and does not become the leader himself. One time Prabhupada was asked by devotees that, Prabhupada, we will install you as a king. Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to be the king. I will be the spiritual master of the king. I will give him spiritual guidance. So that is the duty of a spiritualist. He doesn't want to be like that. And Prabhupada also inspired many rich people. We see one of the biggest names, George Harrison. Srila Prabhupada inspired him. He was one of the, probably the richest man living on the earth during his time. And Prabhupada inspired him in such a way that even to the end of his life, he was chanting Hare Krishna. It is said that Prabhupada preached in such a large scale, and probably the any other person who could preach at such a large scale after Prabhupada was George Harrison. He changed the lives of so many people. One time a devotee asked in a Western country, they were blaspheming George Harrison. They were saying that what he was doing was not right and he is not a complete devotee and things like that. So the preacher, he asked one question: how many of you have been inspired and become devotees by the songs of George Harrison? And more than half the crowd raised their hands and said, see, this is the effect of preaching of Prabhupada to George Harrison, how he became a wonderful devotee. Then some days back, few months back actually, we had Amrish Prabhu, Mr. Ford, who was here, and he was sitting on the same Vyasasana and he was mentioning about the wonderful glories of Srila Prabhupada. Who doesn't know the name of Ford? He's so famous. And he was sitting here himself and personally speaking to the devotees, and he was mentioning about the wonderful activities of Srila Prabhupada, and he was so indebted and full of gratitude that he actually started crying. And every time he was trying to speak about Prabhupada, he was choking. And we were all amazed that actually he has everything in life, but he understands what is the most valuable thing. Most valuable thing, what he considers in his life, is what Prabhupada has given him and not what his grandfather Henry Ford has given him. One time when he newly met Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked him, so you are the grandson of Henry Ford? So very proudly he said, yes. Prabhupada said, okay, where is he now? So, he says that when Prabhupada asked me this question, I immediately came to the level of soul. I realized, oh, my grandfather, he earned so much of money, but where is he now? I don't know where he is hanging. So, he realized that I am also going to go from here someday. So like that, the Ajatashatruva, they are not inimical to anybody. They don't want to be the leaders, but inspire everyone in their Krishna consciousness. Another quality of the saint is Shantaha. He is peaceful. As autumn comes, the ocean becomes very quiet. Otherwise, there are a lot of storms in the ocean, but the ocean becomes silent, and the boatmen, they start celebrating that now we can go in the sea and we can go and search over there. In India, it is tradition that during this time, they have a celebration and they offer coconut to the ocean. It's called as the Coconut Day. And that time, the ocean is very quiet. So, it is said that a self-realized soul is just like this peaceful ocean. He is not disturbed by the storms of desire and lust because he is self-realized. Another example is given that the clouds, they are freed from the burden of water during the autumn season and they become very light. Similarly, the sannyasi who is entering a renounced order of life becomes free from family life and travels freely to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. So Narada Muni, we see in his life, is such an amazing person. Vyasadeva is speaking to him and Narada Muni is talking to him, telling him that actually I was a young child in the last millennium, not this millennium. And Vyasadeva is surprised and he said, dear master, please tell me that how do you remember last millennium? This is the next day of Brahma, the previous day of Brahma, when everything destroyed and still your memory is maintained. How is it? And how did you get this transcendental body? So Narada Muni says, okay, I'll tell you. And Narada Muni starts telling him that actually I was the child of a maid servant. And being the only very young over there, I was completely dependent on my mother. And at that time, I served the great souls who came during the rainy season. And my mother was serving them and I would clean plates and I took their Mahaprasad by their permission and I became free from all the material desires and sinful activities. And what did Narada Muni do? He did a very important thing while he was in the association of such saintly person. He was constantly hearing Harikatha. And by hearing Harikatha, he got immense attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a desire was created in his heart to attain the Supreme Lord. So during that time, this desire was created. And when the Bhakti Vedantists, they were leaving, at that time they instructed him how to attain the Supreme Lord. And then they left. So Narada Muni was very young. He was just dependent on his mother. And one day, his mother was out. She was going for some household chores. And she was bit by a snake on her leg. And she left her body. Now Narada Muni is a very young child, but he immediately, without any disturbance, just left the house and travelled north towards the Himalayas, where there is Badrinath also. He started going over there. So he was not disturbed at all. He was very peaceful. And then later on, it is mentioned how he travelled over there and he was very thirsty. He tried to concentrate and use his meditation on the Supreme. He saw the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord appeared to him and then immediately disappeared. And then he was very disturbed that where is that wonderful person whom I saw? And the Supreme Lord appeared to him again and told him. So, not appeared to him actually, he spoke to him. He said that I can be seen only by purified people. If you have him little contamination, I cannot be seen to him. So now, in this life, I regret that you cannot see me. But in your next life you will see me. Saying like that, the voice went away and Narada Muni then travelled throughout the whole planet trying to preach Krishna consciousness and see different things. And it is said just like lightning and illumination come together, similarly Narada Muni left his body. Death came to Narada Muni. That means that death came and illumination at the same time. He got his spiritual form. So, Narada Muni's life, we can see that he was very peaceful even when his mother died. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, it is said, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakala Shanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. Prabhupada had all the facility to enjoy material opulence, bhukti. So many things were there at his disposal. One very big businessman came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you are the greatest businessman. With 40 rupees in your pocket, you have made 40 million. Prabhupada said, then why don't you join my business? And he ran away. So Prabhupada actually had lots of money. He had millions and millions of dollars. But he never used it for his own sense gratification. So bhukti was there. Mukti, he was already liberated. He was traveling all over the world. And siddhi, it is a challenge to all the yogis who are there on this planet, living or dead, that if any of them can convert people's heart, change their lives and turn them into pure souls, pure Vaishnavas. This is actually a siddhi which is available only to devotees, and it cannot be attained by any austerity, physical or mental. So Srila Prabhupada was a siddha, and he has changed, and not only changed, even after he is not physically present, he is changing people's life. So many people's life. I met one person from Norway. He just came. He's a very young boy. He said, he came to our temple. And I asked him how he became a devotee. He said, I was practicing some Hatha Yoga. I was interested. I was living in Norway. And there I met with this book called as Path of Perfection. It's a thin book. And I read that book and I became so inspired. I immediately took a flight to Delhi because I came to know there is a ISKCON temple over there. Then I went to Vrindavan and one Prabhupada disciple guided me over here and I came to your temple. So he was inspired like that and he became a devotee. So, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami and Srila Prabhupada Atha Eva Shanta. Such devotees are always calm. The next quality is Sadavaha, abiding by the scriptures. So during the rainy season, some paths which are not used regularly, they become covered with grass and you cannot see them. Similarly, in this dark age of Kali Yuga, all the real knowledge of the scriptures is covered. And you see so many other organizations coming up and you cannot understand which is right, which is wrong. It's very confusing. And only an acharya and a proper bona fide spiritual guide can give you real knowledge. Srila Narada Muni heard from the Bhakti Vedantis and he also took knowledge from Brahmaji, and coming in the disciplic succession, he disseminated this knowledge. Evam parampara praptam. Lord Krishna says that this knowledge comes in parampara, and Narada Muni is one of the prominent acharyas in the parampara. Here Prabhupada's life also, we see, even when he came new to Krishna consciousness, he was very attached to hearing. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati noted and he remarked, I see and I understand that Abhay, he takes great interest in hearing and I will accept him as my disciple. So we see that Narada Muni was also hearing from Bhakti Vedantis. Srila Prabhupada was hearing very attentively. They both had these wonderful qualities, which is a very important quality if one wants to advance in spiritual life, to hear and implement whatever you are hearing. Secondly, Narada Muni was one of the prominent acharyas of book distribution. He inspired and urged Vyasadeva to write the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he also promised Bhakti Devi that I will see to it that in Kali Yuga, this knowledge is there in everyone's house. Everyone gets this knowledge. And we also see that the four Kumaras actually later on instructed him that you will get this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, which will be the most powerful weapon in Kali Yuga. It will be a weapon just like when a lion roars, all the wolves run away. Similarly, by the resounding of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the kalmasha of Kali will go away. So, Srila Prabhupada, following in his footsteps, printed the first Srimad Bhagavatam in English. He translated Srimad Bhagavatam day and night. And he has given us this wonderful literature which will be there for the next 10,000 years. But Srila Prabhupada also never compromised. He was always abiding by scriptures, sadhavaha, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating. Although he was in a city, in a place where people were living by these standards, Srila Prabhupada never compromised. He wrote down, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And when the disciples were amazed, he told them, okay, you get married. He was not there to get people married, but he almost acted like a priest and he married them. He married many of the boys and girls over there. So, a devotee is sadhavaha. Next quality, which is one of the most important qualities, and that's why I reserved it for the last, it is karunika, compassionate. A devotee is very compassionate. Just like Mother Earth is being abused in so many different ways, she doesn't retaliate. Not only that, but she also gives so many wonderful things. She gives grains, she gives water, she gives fruits, so many things. Similarly, a person who is karunika, a saint, even after being blasphemed and tortured, gives all the mercy he can to all the fallen conditioned souls. Srila Prabhupada was there, such a person. We see, in the rainy season, the peacock starts dancing as soon as the clouds come. Peacock is very famous to open up his furs and start dancing. So the companion is given, as soon as a saint appears in one's house, the person in whose house the saint has appeared, he starts dancing. That means he becomes very joyful on seeing the saint, because he knows that he is going to give me wonderful spiritual knowledge. So he is karunika, merciful. Merciful means merciful to everyone, to all living entities. That means including animals. So we see in the life of Srila Narada Muni, when he was traveling through the jungle, he saw this hunter, Brigari, who was killing animals. And he was not killing them completely. We all know he was killing them halfway. The deer was dying with an arrow in him, and there were rabbits who were half dead, and they were struggling for their life air. And Narada Muni was so compassionate, because a devotee is naturally, his heart is soft. A devotee is very soft hearted, not like some babas sitting in the caves of Badrinath. One devotee was telling me that they went to Badrinath and he met some babas over there in the caves. And he was saying that because of all the austerities, these people had become so hard hearted. Their ordinary language was abuses, which was very normal for them. You speak in all abusive languages. So he was telling me that there is no perfection to their life, they are just wasting time. Another devotee was once telling me that he was attending Kumbh Mela and he was giving the example of hard-heartedness. During the Kumbh Mela, at night he was there at his tent, and there was a tap outside, and one lady was trying to fill some water, and one Naga Baba came over there and he abused her like anything, and he blasphemed her, gave her bad words. She went and she complained to the policeman. So the policeman came to correct this Naga Baba. Hey, what do you think? Why are you not allowing her to take water? So what did this Naga Baba do? He had a clipper with him, long clipper. He just took that and put it straight in this policeman's stomach, and he killed him on the spot. He had no feelings that what he is doing, why he is doing. And he said this policeman died on the spot. And then later on, there is a very famous story how there was an attack by the police, and then the Naga Babas attacked and killed many police. So this thing happened, that people become hard-hearted by austerities, but a devotee is very soft-hearted. He cannot even see animals being hurt. So Narada Muni was very compassionate, and he could not tolerate. So he preached to Brigari and delivered him. Following in his footsteps, Srila Prabhupada, he is mentioning a very nice pastime of Janaki and Mukunda. In the early days, they were there with Prabhupada. They were all new devotees, young, new, just upcoming devotees. And Janaki's sister, Joanne, she was also from a very rich family. She had come, but she was not sure whether she should take up to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. She was still doubtful whether I should take up or not. So, once Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room, waiting for devotees to come and meet them, At that time one cat, Janki's cat, she just came in that room. Prabhupada was sitting on his rocking chair, rocking. And this cat came and she just entered the room. Joanne was sitting, other devotees were sitting. The cat came in exactly in front of Srila Prabhupada and sat over there. And she started meowing. So Srila Prabhupada was chanting Hare Krishna and he was rocking. So with his feet, he touched the cat, like massaging the cat. And he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he started asking Janaki, are you giving him milk prasadam? So Joanne, she felt so wonderful. She thought that Srila Prabhupada is not only compassionate to everyone, but even to animals. He is bothered about them, that whether they are getting this spiritual advancement. So Joanne got a soft corner and she started thinking that now I should maybe. So Srila Prabhupada later on asked her, so when are you getting initiated? And she said that, Prabhupada, I'm not sure because maybe I just like the mountain so much. So I want to travel to Tibet. So Srila Prabhupada looked in her eyes directly, as if looking through her. She says that Prabhupada was looking at me in such a way that he knew what was my real place. And he told her, I will take you to a higher place. Just see. And then she thought, oh, higher than Tibet, oh, wonderful. And then later on she told her boyfriend Roger that I am going to take initiation. And later on they both became initiated as Yamuna and Gargamuni Prabhu. Gurudas Prabhu. Yamuna Mataji and Guru. And of course, so like that, a devotee is Karunika. Prabhupada went to Africa. He went to different places. He preached to rich, the poor, all over the continent, even to the Africans. When he was giving the Bhagavatam class, he could see devotees sitting and wearing his clothes, which he had put for drying. And they had already stolen it. So the instruction over there he had to give them is, you should not steal your guru's clothes. Like that. So, this is the easiest way to go back to Godhead by serving such Bhakti Vedantis. Although, initially they may crush our ego. One English professor came to Prabhupada and asked, what is the meaning of Krishna? Prabhupada, understanding, he could have answered so many things. But Prabhupada, just catching the right nerve, told him, you are an English professor from such a big university. You don't know Krishna is a proper noun. There cannot be an explanation. And he was flabbergasted. His mouth was open. He could not speak anything. And Prabhupada said, by the way, there is a meaning to Krishna. And if you want to know, read my books. Like that. Prabhupada said, as in the purport, he is saying, what is real education? Prabhupada said three things one should teach. That is real education. Teach a young man to see all women as mothers. Teach them to see other people's property as garbage and to see every living entity equal to himself and understand that everything is a creation of God. Like that, Prabhupada preached. So these are few qualities, lots can be spoken upon them. I would like to end my class, it's already time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I have a question. Do we have time? Question? Yeah, you can speak. Question is, what is the purpose of Vaishnavas going to Badrinath? Actually, I have not gone to Badrinath as yet. So, some Vaishnavas, they have just arrived from Badrinath with long beard. You can ask them, they can tell you better. I am also not yet sure what is the purpose. Of course, Badrinath is a place which is a great attraction for renunciation. Ultimately, after the Pandavas, when they gave up their kingdom, it is said in all the throughout the Bhagavatam when you read that all these great devotees, they walked towards the north. There is where the Himalaya is. Madhvacharya went over there. All the Pandavas went over there. It is renunciation. So we should all understand whether we are grastas, we are brahmacharis, vanaprastas, women, children, whoever we are. Ultimately, we have to renounce this material world. So we should. Badrinath is an emblem of renunciation. So now you may be in grihastha ashram or any other ashram, you have to give up whatever attachment slowly, slowly, as soon as you can, so that you can take up to renunciation. One devotee, he got married, and Jayadvat Maharaj was there, a very close friend of mine who got married, and he met Jayadvat Maharaj and went, Maharaj, I am taking blessings, I just got married. I said, oh, you got married, very nice, now start preparing for sannyas. Start preparing for vanaprastha ashram, he said. So he got the shock of his life. He said, yeah, now I have got married, now I have to start preparing for renouncing. So everyone has to just prepare for renunciation, give up all these attacks. So I have not gone to Badrinath, but Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki.